My name is Daniel Lehman. I'm associate pastor here as well as worship pastor for Living Stones Church. Ryan and Sarah are on vacation to Italy. So they're in Italy right now enjoying Italian food. I don't know. They're having a vacation. So I have the privilege of giving the word of the Lord with to you guys this morning. And I'm really excited to be here. We just finished Thanksgiving. How many of you had a great Thanksgiving with family? Hopefully it was awesome and there wasn't too many arguments in the family and nobody talked about politics. It was a politics-free zone in our household. You know, we had a really good time. Usually our family, we're kind of known for having like 30 or 40 people over at our house for Thanksgiving and just going crazy. But this year we decided we're just going to have a few friends over, just family. And it was great, small but wonderful. So this morning, I was praying about what to share for this morning, and I was kind of reminded of where we are in the season. I feel like this is kind of an awkward space. You just had Thanksgiving. And then you feel like you're just kind of waiting for Christmas. You ever feel that way? It's like you have Thanksgiving, then you got Black Friday, and then it's kind of like we're just waiting for Christmas to happen. It's this awkward space. I had this awkward conversation at my son's football game on Friday. So my son plays football for Kealakehe, and they were playing Hilo High in Hilo. And after the game, one of the parents... I said, "Hey, happy Thanksgiving," and she looked at me and she went, "Happy holidays," and then I awkwardly went, "Merry Christmas," and then she looks at me like, "It's not Christmas yet, you weirdo," like, and I'm like, "What do I say? It's not Thanksgiving is past," but it's happy holidays apparently to her, but I can't say Merry Christmas because we just had Thanksgiving. So when can I say Merry Christmas? I don't know, and I'm freaking out. So I had like this total awkward moment with this football mom who gives me the look like, "You weirdo, come on, don't you know the season?" And I'm like, "No, I don't." And that's kind of where we're going to be going with the sermon today is I want to talk to you about the awkwardness of the in-between. Between the promises of God and God fulfilling those promises. Between our prayer and our intercession and the answer to those prayers, isn't that sometimes can be an awkward place where you're just waiting? You just feel like you're waiting for something. I feel like in this season, a lot of us, we're waiting for breakthroughs in our families. We're waiting for breakthroughs in our marriage. We're waiting for breakthroughs with our kids. And it can be an awkward place. I would say that most of our lives, though, are spent living in the in-between. God does come in suddenly moments where he just answers your prayer right away and you're like, "Thank you, God, you are faithful, you are powerful, you're amazing." But I would say, and I think we would all agree, that most of our lives are actually lived in that place of in-between. Most of our lives are lived in that place of, "God, how do I walk? How do I posture my heart? How do I posture my life in this in-between space between the promise and the fulfillment of that promise, between the prayer and the answer to prayer." And I want to give you some principles this morning of how to posture your hearts, how to walk through this sometimes can be awkward season, sometimes can be a nervous season, it can be a season of insecurity because, you know, God's faithfulness is being tested in our life while we're waiting for those promises. So I want to give us some principles on how to walk through this. You know, all of us are believing for something. Our church leadership team, we meet together and we talk about how we want to see Kona transformed. We want to see families healed. We want to see revival in the state of Hawaii like in the early 1800s when the largest church in the whole world was in Hilo. We want to see God do it again. We sang that song, "I want to see you do it again." And we as a leadership team of the church, we want to see God bring revival again in Hawaii. But how do we walk as a church until that happens. How do we posture our hearts? How do we respond to the Lord until we see the breakthrough? I think all of us are believing for something. And that place can sometimes be a scary place. Growing up, I grew up in a as a missionary child. So I'm a pastor's kid, but I'm also a missionary kid. My dad was the base director of the YWAM base in Honolulu for like 20 years. And he's still part of YWAM now. He's the dean of the College of Christian Ministries for Youth of the Mission over on the hill over there. And so I grew up in the church. I grew up hearing a bunch of stories about miracles. And I would say when I was younger, my dad, I think he would admit that he was a little legalistic. He leaned toward the legalistic side of Christianity, meaning rules and regulations. And early on, my dad said, he made a declaration that there will be no Christmas trees in our family during Christmas, because there's this one odd verse in the Old Testament that says that they chop down a tree from the forest and they put it in their house and they adorn it with silver and gold and they dance around it, and that this was idolatry. So my dad interpreted that verse as Christmas tree is idolatry. And then my mom broke him down and said, Danny, that's stupid. We're having a Christmas tree and we're giving our kids presents, okay? So that lasted for a very short time. Thank goodness for my mother. Who really keeps the family together. But another thing that was labeled as the devil was the TV. Did anybody have parents that were like, the TV was bad, okay, the devil? I got a couple hands raised, okay? TV's the devil, okay? And my dad did not want the TV in our household because this was evil and it was letting spirits into our house, and you know. And so one day I was at school, and all my friends were talking about this show called The Smurfs. And The Smurfs were like extra bad because Gargamel, he was like a witch or something, right? And it was like bad. There was, you know, spells being cast and they were blue, so that was demonic. And so I wasn't allowed to watch TV or let alone watch The Smurfs. But all my friends in school, they were talking about The Smurfs and what happened on the latest Smurfs episode on Saturday morning cartoons. And this is pre-internet days, by the way. And I remember coming home and I was so mad. I was like, I want to watch The Smurfs. All my friends are talking about The Smurfs and I don't even know who the heck The Smurfs are. And apparently Gargamel's the bad guy, but I don't know who Gargamel is. I like his name. It's kind of a cool name. And then and there's Papa Smurf and whatever, all the Smurfs. And I didn't know who they were. So I begged and begged my parents for a TV. And my dad said, no, 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 you can't have a TV. And then finally my mom says, well, how about we leave it up to the Lord to see if God will give Daniel a TV. And I said, I like that idea. That's a good one. So my dad said, okay, I'm not going to buy you a TV. But if you pray and God gives you a TV, then I'll know that it's the Lord's will for us to have a TV. So I remember I was a little kid. I was like, okay. And I'd grown up in the church, so I believed in miracles. I believed in the power of prayer. I was ready for this, okay? I was filled with faith, even as, I don't even know how old, I was this high. I don't know how old I was. And so I remember I sat down with my parents. I said, God, I want to watch The Smurfs. I don't even know who they are, but I want to watch TV. And could you please give me a TV? And it was this simple prayer, but it was powerful, filled with faith, filled with, I just knew God was going to give me a TV, okay? And so my dad, you know, he's like, okay, so we'll give it up to God. And so I remember I went to bed that night. I was so excited for the next day because I just knew God was going to give me a TV. So I woke up the next morning and I would run out and I'd look out of my window, like expecting, like, I don't know, like a TV to just like, poof, like show up. And so I remember I kept running, no TV, no TV. And then a car pulls up it's a white Ford, like Taurus or something like that. And I don't know the guy who gets out of the car. He goes to the trunk of his car. He opens up the trunk and he pulls out this white box with a handle on it. I don't even remember those. It was a little black and white TV had a handle on it and antennas. And he's walking up the steps to my house, and I'm like, oh my gosh. And so I run to the bedroom and I get my parents. I'm like, there's a TV. God gave me a TV. And my dad's like, looks just pale. He's like, what? What are you talking about? So we go to the front door, and it was a guy from church, and he says, hey, I don't know if I got this used TV, and I was just in my quiet time, and God said, just maybe offer it to the Lehman family. Maybe they need a TV. And my dad's like, what? And he's like, do you guys want a TV? And he says, we don't want a TV. And he's like, oh, really? And I was like, I want a TV. I prayed for the TV. That's my TV. So reluctantly, my dad, you know, grabs the TV. And I was so excited. And it was years later that I found out the Smurfs were blue because it was a little black and white TV. I went over to my friend's house. I was like, they're blue? Amazing. Okay. So, how many of you know, though, a lot of times our prayers aren't answered like that? A lot of times, even though we're believing for it, even though we believe all the stories, we're believing for the breakthrough. I have all faith. I wake up every morning. I'm like ready for God to see God's breakthrough. Sometimes God chooses not to answer our prayers the next day. Sometimes he does. And it's in those times that really stir our faith for the next time, right? But I'd say most of our life, like I said before, is lived in that place of the in-between. I think every single person in this room is believing for something. Yesterday we were watching the new Marvel movie. This just came to me. She's learning how to shoot her bow and arrow, and she says,
"I'm not."
It's not a spoiler alert, okay? And one of the characters says, "If you don't aim at anything, you don't hit anything." And I was like, "That's really profound." Did I spoil that? Didn't spoil anything, right? And then she dies in the end. Oh, sorry. I'm sorry. That just spilled out. That was an accident. No, nobody dies, I guess.
Spoiler,
I
think. Bro.
Sorry. Move on, Daniel. Move on. But it's true. With our prayers, if you don't shoot for anything, if you don't aim for anything, you're not going to hit anything.
Yeah.
So God calls us to make our prayers specific.
Yeah.
God calls us to ask for specific prayers, for detailed prayers, you know? And he longs to answer those prayers. But sometimes he doesn't answer them in the timing that we think he should answer them. 2 Corinthians 1:20 says, "For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken to us to the glory of God." Psalm 33 verse 4 says, "For the word of the Lord is right and true, and he is faithful in all that he does." One of the things that we can stand on when it comes to believing in the promises of God, we can stand on his faithfulness. That we can trust that no matter the situation that we're going through, that he is always good, that he is always faithful. It's a really hard place to not judge God's goodness according to what we see with our eyes, but to believe in his goodness because he says he's good, because he says he's faithful. And in my walk with the Lord, he has, over the years, given me these little clues pointing toward his faithfulness, pointing toward his goodness. But there's a lot of mornings when I wake up and I look at my circumstances around me and I go, God, are you good? Are you faithful? One of the good things, though, in this in-between place is that if we are waiting for the fulfillment of the promises of God, you're in really good company. We are in really good company. Sometimes the greater the promise, the greater the preparation. Sometimes the greater the promise, the greater the preparation. All throughout the Bible is stories of great men and women of faith standing in that in-between place, waiting for the promises of God. Abraham, in Genesis 17, God promises that he will be the father of a great nation, but he doesn't have any kids. Abraham waited 25 years till the fulfillment of the promise that he would be a father. 25 years, Abraham, this great man of God, was standing in that in-between place waiting for the promise of God. Joseph was given a vision by God of leading a nation, and he was thrown into prison and falsely accused, and he waited 13 years to see the fulfillment of that promise. David, he was anointed as king as a child, and that wasn't fulfilled for another 20 years. Simeon, this is a priest who was in the New Testament. He was promised to see the birth of the Messiah, and all the Lord promised him was that you would see the Messiah before you die. And so Simeon waited his whole life, and he was holding on to this promise that I will see the Messiah before I die. Can you imagine what was going through Simeon's heart? Being tested to believe in the faithfulness to God, tested to believe in the goodness of God. All right. I want to give you some principles on how to actually walk through this season. Okay. Psalm 23, verse 4 says, "Even though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me." All right, you've probably heard this said before, but you don't camp in the valley of despair, you walk through it, okay? "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." What the psalmist is saying is you gotta keep walking. And I created this acronym to kind of show us, kind of help us remember how to keep walking. It's a little funny, but I want to challenge you to fast walk through the valley, okay? And I'm choosing fast walk, not run, because there's a few visuals, okay? Fast walk is a little awkward, right? You ever seen people fast walk? And they
I didn't see it. Can you do it?
Yeah, I can do it again. There's a lot of hip movements. I'm a little old, so I can't move my hips like I used to. But you have to fast walk through the valley. Fast walking can be a little awkward sometimes, okay? It's not a run, because when you run, you lose your breath. You feel out of breath. It's a walk. You're still able to breathe. You're still able to think, okay? But it's also, sometimes God wants to teach you something in that valley. So if you run through the valley, you won't learn everything that he wants you to teach. So we need a fast walk through the valley, and I have an acronym for you. First, F, have faith. A is for take action. S, steady as she goes. And T, give thanks. Colossians 2, 6 through 7 says, "Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving." So first, we got to have faith. What does every man and woman in the Bible who waited for the promise of God have in common? They have in common that they walked in faith. Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is the confidence in what we hope for and the assurance about what we do not see." Faith is the confidence. What faith does is, even though you're in that valley of decision, you're in that valley of confusion, you're in that valley of waiting for the promises of God to be fulfilled, what faith does is it keeps your vision to the light at the end of the tunnel. It keeps your vision focused toward the promise, because it's, I can't see it through the fog. I can't see it in the darkness, but my faith, there's something in me that's speaking to me day in and day out that I will see the goodness of God in the land of the living. And what faith does is it is actually the substance of things unseen. Faith allows your feet to keep fast walking through that valley. And I want to challenge you, if you can see what you're believing for, you don't need faith. A lot of times, the promises of God, you can't see. But it's because he wants to increase faith in your heart to believe for the impossible things. This is the Christian life, to believe for the impossible things, to believe for the things that are unseen. So we have F for have faith. A is take action. A is take action. James 2, 14 to 18 says, "What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, keep warm and well fed,' but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, 'You have faith and I have deeds.' Okay, show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith with my deeds." Isn't that powerful? That is so profound. Faith will always lead you to action. And I also want to challenge you that specifically in this season, while you're waiting on the promises of God, to open your eyes and have empathy and look around your relationships, because everybody's waiting on a promise of God in some need, in some way. Everyone has a need. And in this season, maybe God, maybe you're the answer to your neighbor's prayer. Maybe you're the answer to the person sitting next to you at church for what they've been believing God for years and years and years. There's been many situations where me and Esther have been believing in faith for God to do something. We're missionaries for 20 years, and so we couldn't pay our rent for 15 of those 20 years, you know? And we would just be like, oh God, I remember, this isn't in my notes, but I'm just remembering when we first moved back to Kona, we had a short stint living in Tacoma, Washington. And when we moved back, we didn't have a car, and we didn't have any money for a car. And so I was in a YWAM meeting, and this YWAM leader comes up to me and says, "Hey, welcome back. It's good to have you back. Do you guys need a car?" And I'm like, "Uh-huh, yes." He's like, "Well, we kind of need a tax write-off for our ministry thing, and we want to donate to you a car." And I was like, "Okay, thanks. Yes, I'll take it." So I had no idea what the car was, but it was this, and then we get donated the car, and it's this like 1990 Mercury Villager minivan that has, you can't open, do you remember that van? You couldn't open both of the doors because they'd fall off. So you had to, the kids had to crawl in from the front to get into the van. But I tell you what, I was stoked because we didn't have a car. And that's what I was praying for. I remember praying before that happened, I remember praying and God saying, "God, we need a car here." And then somebody donates us a car. And that man was the answer to my prayers. And I want to challenge you that faith without deeds is dead. Sometimes, and God might be calling you to be the answer to your neighbor's prayer this season. And isn't that what Christmas is all about? Or holidays? Happy Thanksgiving. Okay. S stands for steady as she goes. Steady as she goes. I once heard a teaching about the importance of character in regards to spiritual gift. And in the teaching, I want you to picture a sailboat, okay? And in a sailboat, you have the sails, right, which are very visible to everybody. They're usually adorned with something, you know, beautiful or whatever. It's very visible. They catch the wind. They are the power for the boat, okay? But then you also, in a sailboat, you have a keel. A keel is what actually keeps you going straight when the winds start blowing. A keel helps the boat not to tip over in strong wind, right? You can tell I'm not a sailor. And really what this speaks to is that your sails are your giftings, okay? Your sails are your spiritual giftings. Your sails are what everybody sees. These are all the things that God has given you in order to catch the wind of his spirit, to push your family forward, to push you forward in your business, in your career, in your spiritual walk. These are the things that everybody sees. But what nobody sees is the keel, which is your character, which keeps that boat going in the right direction and actually helps that boat not tip over in a storm. And the larger your giftings are, the larger your sails are, the deeper that keel has to go into the water in order to keep that boat afloat, right? And so S is steady as she goes, meaning sometimes in that valley, sometimes in that in-between space, what God is doing is he's allowing you to go through this season to produce character. The place that you develop character is the valley, not the mountaintop. Romans 5:3 says, "Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope." One thing we have to understand is in that place of in between, God is building our character. God is making that keel go deep into the water so that when the storm comes, that you can catch the full power of that wind and accomplish the things that he wants you to accomplish and fulfill the things that he wants you to fulfill and not get tipped over in the storms. And last, T, we fast walk through the valley. We give thanks. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 says, "Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." If you're in that valley, if you're in that place of the in-between, and you're asking God, "God, what's your will for my life?" I can tell you where you can start. You can start by being thankful. Because God says that it is always his will that we give thanks. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Thanksgiving is powerful. Thanksgiving is one of, if it's not my favorite holiday, I think it's second only to Christmas. But I love Thanksgiving because I know the power of thanks. In the Old Testament alone, over 150 times, God commands the Israelites to remember what he's done for them. Because when we remember what God has done and we give thanks, what does it do? It produces faith in our hearts. Because as we remember what he's done for us in the past, it gives us faith for what he's going to do for us in the future and what he can do for us in the future. So thanksgiving is not just fun, but it's powerful. Thanksgiving helps us, it reminds us of his promises, it reminds us of his faithfulness, it reminds us of his character. In Deuteronomy 8, in fact, God commands the Israelites, he says, "I want you to remember and give thanks when you enter into the promised land. Because when you enter into the promised land and you forget what I have done, you're going to walk in pride, thinking that you built your houses and that you got yourself through the valley and that you did this and what's going to happen is as you walk in pride, pride always leads to destruction. And so God says, for you to prosper in the promised land that I have for you, you need to remember that it was me that got you there. So Thanksgiving is not just a time where we eat turkey and talk about what we're thankful for, which is fun and it's celebration, but it's powerful. Thanksgiving is powerful because what it does is it prepares you for the promises of God that he wants to give to you. And lastly, sometimes God does answer suddenly. And that's what we're all believing God for, right? We're asking God, we're believing God, we have faith for those suddenly moments. When I pray for somebody for healing, I'm believing God for a suddenly healing right then. I'm not believing God for, when you want to heal. I'm believing God for a suddenly healing. When I need finances or I need a breakthrough in my relationship of some sorts, I'm believing God for a suddenly breakthrough. But I got it at the same time, on the other side of the coin, I trust God in his timing. There's a great story, and this is what I'm going to leave us with this morning. There's a great story about Paul and Silas in Acts 16. And they were thrown into jail. And in verse 24, it says that the jailer put them into this inner prison, a dungeon, fastened their feet with stocks. And it says specifically that he was making sure that they wouldn't escape. And then in verse 25 and 26, it says, but about midnight, as Paul and Silas were praying, singing hymns of praise to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them, suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the very foundation of the prison was shaken, and at once all the doors were opened and everyone's shackles were unfastened. God answered their prayers in a suddenly fashion. So all of us are going to be walking in the in-between moments. We need to remember to fast walk, to have faith, to take action, steady as she goes, knowing that God is producing character in you, and be thankful, and add to that, believing God for suddenly moments, because he does answer in suddenly moments. He does come through, not always at the last minute, but sometimes he comes through immediately, and these are the prayers of faith that God wants us to believe in, that God wants us to produce. Lastly, I want to leave you guys with Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, and it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. So God, this morning, we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for what you want to teach us in these in-between moments of life. But I ask, even this morning, God, as we enter into this holiday season, that you would give each and every one of us in this room a greater measure of faith to believe you for suddenly breakthroughs. We say yes to the character building that you want to produce in our hearts and in our lives through this time of waiting, through this time of this in-between season. And we commit to saying, giving thanks in all circumstances. We just thank you once again for your faithfulness, your goodness in our lives. And we say we trust you in every season. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.